the conservative movement, for example. I mean, they justified themselves that, you know, just as there was Hillel and Shammai, so they could disagree with everybody else. But where is it leading to? This is the problem. Where is it leading to? Certainly it's not leading to any greater commitment to Yiddishkeit or to observance of Jewish law and mitzvahs and things like that. It's not doing it. If anything, it's alienating more and more. There's no question about that.
Right.
Yeah, right. It's no question. It's become a big issue over there. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. There's no question about that.
I'm having a discussion with Rabbi Schwartz.
Yeah. Yes.
How
come he's a rabbi? For whatever reason, he's a rabbi. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. And that's Nisa. And how about the other authority that he cited? So he cited a case as follows. The Agadimius Ove Kechonim Shekodach Pemeinekes Vehelo Oshetam in Akos Vehazir Lachovis. Okay, let's get this straightened out first of all. First word is agadimus or agradimus or whatever it is. At any rate, it's not the most common word that we have in the Hebrew language, right? And I don't know if you'll find it in any part of the Hebrew dictionary or not. But at any rate, thank God that we have Rashi to explain it to us, okay? And we'll see what Rashi says over here. He says, so Agadimus, he says, Odom ha-memune lishmor ha-midos v'mitzvah ha-melech. Yeah. So Rashi says that this word refers to a person who has been appointed by the king or by the government, right, to watch over weights and measures. Okay? So an inspector for weights and measures. Shelo yishakru bahem, that, you know, that the storekeepers should not give any false scales, right? Not only that, he is apparently, you know, like a kashrus inspector, except he's a goy, okay? Because he says to us, he was an idolater, okay? All right, so another thing that he inspected, he says, is that... excuse me. The Torah Hayayin, right? And so, not only that, but he will also taste the wine. I guess he wanted to make sure that the wine really was 100% wine and not something that was adulterated. Okay? Benasus also Benehem. And then he also did a little private business with the storekeepers that he examined. Okay. And Rashi then quotes the fact that where the Torah says, Eifas Tzedek Vein Tzedek Yelochem, right? That when the Torah says that you must have, you know, a righteous or an honest weight and measurement and so on, right? So he says, Menelecha, you should appoint for yourself, Agad Demus Alkocha. So, inasmuch as we find this in Toras Kahanim, which is the Medrash Rabba to it's the Medrash Halacha of Sefer Vayikra. So though the word occurs. So that's how we know what it is, okay? In other words, we see that it means somebody who is appointed in order to examine weights and measures to make sure that they're honest and they're not deceitful.
Is the word not an Aramaic word?
It's in all probability, it could be a Persian word. No, because we find other Persian words, you know, the Jews are living in Babylonian, so they use them. Again, the language of the Talmud would also reflect the area in which they lived. In the Mishnah, we find loads of words that have their origin in Greek, for example. And, you know, they become so acclimated into the Hebrew language, you know, that we don't even think of it. I mean, you have, for example, the word basis. What is basis?
Basis.
A basis or something like that. Obviously, I mean, it's right. But there are many more, right?
Persian is
Geniza,
is Persian.
Are
the
other
good examples?
Persian Geniza?
Yeah, Geniza is
Persian. That I don't know. I mean, the most famous Geniza is the one in Cairo. Right. Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, just as we have Sforim over here, you know, things, old books and so on and so forth. So very often we bury them, you know, but not everyone is buried, you see. And it so happened in Cairo, the weather conditions are such that manuscripts can remain for centuries and, you know, not decompose. It's because of a certain amount of dryness in the air, whatever it may be, but it happened. And so, for example, they found some of Maimonides' original writings. Imagine, I mean, how many years is it since Maimonides wrote them? 1,000 years or something like that? And still, well, there it is in his own handwriting. So that's something. Yeah. So at any rate, what did this guy do? This is the question, all right? He was an idolater. He was an inspector. And Shekodach b'beinekes. And first of all, Kodach means that he drilled a hole. Into what did he drill a hole? It doesn't say, but he drilled a hole, obviously, into a barrel. Some say into like a cork over the barrel or something like that. And he had a menekes. Menekes means literally a woman who gives milk. Right. But this is what Rashi explains. That this is a straw, a hollow straw that he inserted into the barrel, right? Okay? And the hair lot, right? And he drew up some wine. Well, that's one way that he inspected wine.
Right.
Right. Okay? Right. Another way, that Oshata min hakos, he tasted some wine from a cup, right? The hechazir l'cholis, and then he put it back into the barrel. So, Zeho Yom Maaseh. This is what happened, okay? The Asaruhu. And what did they do? They said, it is prohibited. The wine in the barrel is now prohibited.
From both situations.
This is what he's quoting. It says, from both situations, the wine was prohibited. So the Gemara says, my love, Behanoah, you mean then that it was prohibited from having any kind of, any kind of use from it? No. What we mean is, Bishasiyah was prohibited to drink from it. You couldn't drink the wine from it, but you could sell it and, you know, derive some benefit from it. So, if that's the case, then why doesn't the text read, it could be sold? It doesn't say so specifically, right? Kedektani Sefer, as we learn from a little bit further in the same quotation, that Choram, who is a Choram, it's another word that we never heard of. Thank God we have Rashi. I'll read you Rashi's explanation. Okay. No, it's not. It's Choram. No. It's not Choram. Fourth line from the bottom over there, the Rashi. It says Meshuga. Person who's Meshuga, right? We'll have to translate. Uval Mevivos, and he always gets into fights, right? Memahila, so Shalom Kavoda, and he's always doing things quickly without even realizing, you know, what he's doing. Okay? So this is the Choram. Okay. By the way, before we go any further, we have to realize, is this a case, again, of Avodah Zarah or not? You understand? This is the question at this point. Because this is the point that Rashi says. He says, my love, I know, you know, why shouldn't he derive any benefit? He says, I forgot. The Lord bechavodas nisochavei. The point is, there was no intention on the part of the inspector to use this as a libation. That was not his intention. Okay?
That's what Rashi says.
That's what Rashi says. Right? So that, therefore, you know, the question is, if it was not his intention, then why shouldn't you be able to derive some benefit from it? You understand? Because he was not doing it as an act of Avodah Zarah. That's the point. He's not doing it. In other words, to go back again to what we had at the beginning of tonight's shiur, where we learned about the goy who became very angry, and he stuck his hand into it and he mished it around, but this apparently was a form of libation to Avodah Zarah. So here, it's not a question of libation of Avodah Zarah, but Sam Yenam, right? The wine itself, what can you do with it? All right. Mixed in, he tasted it, therefore we would say that wine is prohibited to be drunk, right? But could it be sold? So apparently the lenient opinion would say it could be sold, right? And yet, again, what did they say? Prohibited, right? Right, right, exactly.
But
well, sir, he was an inspector, you know.
With the straw, he just put the straw in.
Right.
Correct.
There's a question. If you remember, it goes back to a different problem that we had a few weeks ago, where with the vat, right? You crush the grapes, right? It goes through a pipe into the lower one. And we said, you know, the first opinion is that the wine in the lower one is prohibited, but the upstairs, the mash and so on, is still permitted. And then along came another authority who said even that's prohibited because the minute that you started to squeeze it out. Right? And we said that the going down through the pipe already forms like a connection between what's in the upper one and the lower one, so it becomes like one.
So the straw is like a pipe? Yeah.
It would be like a pipe.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
With a glass and a bottle.
Well, yeah.
If one drinks from
all right. Let's say, right, it was poured into, he drank it, right? Well, if that's all that he did, it's not going to make the rest of the wine. Also.
So what if there's a little bit
right
in the glass, he pours some more from the bottle.
Yeah.
Is that the little bit in the glass?
Yeah.
Is there a connection between the little
bit
in the glass?
I see what you mean. Might, if you're going to follow the opinion of that, the very stream itself already is a chibur, it's a connection between them, right?
The
right. Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a little left in the glass.
Right. But that's a good kasha.
If it's a fresh glass, it's a different story.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a very good kasha, I have to tell you. Okay. Therefore, what's best is that the Jew does the pouring, but you don't have to worry about it. Okay. But this, as I pointed out many months ago, is the reason why most of the wine that we have today in the grape juice is mevushel. Because we learned that if it's mevushel, they never use it for Aveda Zorah in that form, you know, if it was cooked.
Yeah.
Right. So that, this is why, you know, we permit the use of it, and it could be poured by anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so here's this guy, right? He's a Meshuggah, right? And he was also an idolater. So Hoshet Yodei L'Chodesh, right? He put his hand into the barrel. U'chesover shol shemen he. But he thought that it was olive oil. And lo and behold, you know, he thought, in other words, I was putting it into olive oil, and instead, what came up? Wine. Okay? Zahaya Maisa. So this is the event that happened. The Umru, and they said, Yemocher, it can be sold. Okay, that wine can be sold. So to Yufta the Rava, to Yufta. So the answer is, poor Rava is left out on the cold, and the argument that he gave originally to permit the sale, if you remember, right? But all the authorities prohibited it. So even though there was a lenient opinion, but by force of circumstances, they said, nothing doing, you're going to give people the wrong impression, and it will only lead to, you know, to too much leniency on the part of people who do not know all the ins and outs of the law. Well, I think I'm about out of steam tonight, so we'll rest up right now, and we'll call it a night, okay? Yeah. Tonight is the 7th of March in the year 2007, and we are continuing from where we left off last week, in Gemara Aveda Zorah, Daf Minches Amud Aleph, it's 58A, six lines from the bottom. So we continue again with other stories about problem of yayin, of wine. Does it become yayin nesach or not? Particularly the question is, you know, if there was no intent on the part of the idolater to use it as a libation, so what should we do? Should we be very strict and prohibit it, as Rav Huna, for example, says, or should we follow, let's say, like Matrava, who saw reasons, you know, to say that it's permissible? And as we'll see, this one says yes, and this one says no. So this is a story that we have now. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan ben Arzo, Rabbi Yosei ben Horai, Hoy Yasme. All right. These two rabbis were sitting because Shosu Chavre, and they were drinking wine. Also, who Gavro, so a certain man came. We have to understand from the story that this person was not Jewish. Okay? He came. On Ulay, they said to him, Tor Ashkenon, alright, give us some wine to drink. In other words, let's say there was a bottle of wine over there, right? And while they were drinking, so they said, give us some wine to drink. So he didn't ask any kashas, right? And Lavasa the Rama, the Kasa, after he poured it into their glasses or their cups, right? So Iglai Milsa, David Kechavim, who then it became revealed, you know, that this man was not Jewish. He was an idolater. So Chad Osar, Afilu Bahad Be'or, Chad Shore, Afilu Mishasiyah. So one of the authorities said it is prohibited even for any benefit whatever. Not only you can't drink it, but you can't even sell it and get any profit out of it, right? The other one said, it's permitted not just to sell, but it's also permitted to drink.
And all he did was share it.
Only he was to pour. That's all. He poured. That's all.
But he only poured for himself.
No.
He poured it,
he poured it into their cups.
Oh,
right. He poured it into their cups. That's the point. Right.
Okay.
So, you know, so one of them didn't want to drink it. And he said that's not only prohibited for drinking, but it's also, prohibited even from deriving any benefit from it.
Yeah.
And the other one said, not only is it permitted to derive benefit from it, but you're even permitted to drink it. Because the idolater didn't presumably know what he was doing. As we'll see. All right. So, the two authorities are prohibited, right? Are at odds about it, right? So, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi comes up with the following. He says, Man de osar, shapir osar. He says, you know what? The person who prohibits it, he really has good reason for prohibiting it. Okay? Uman de shore, and the person who permits it, Shapir Shari, he also has good reasons for permitting it.
You're right.
So what's the middle way?
You're right.
And why? So this now they go into what was behind the reasoning for it. Okay? So they say, Manda Osar, the rabbi who said it was prohibited, and now we go on to the next page. The Nudcher Summit Days. Okay? What was his reasoning? He says, Meymar Omar. He says, what was the idolater thinking to himself? This is what he's saying. Okay? He says, Sarfer Bate de Rabbanon Kehani Shikro Koshosa. Says, if they asked me to pour what was in the bottle for them, after all, they know that I'm not Jewish, so they must have been under the impression, he says, that this was beer and not wine. Okay, and that's what they drank. Elavadai haichabrahu, but nevertheless, there's no question that it's wine, right? Vinaske, and under that category, it would come under the, if they knew that it was wine, then they know that my touch of it makes it what? Makes it a libation, right, to Aved Zor, and therefore prohibited. So that's the reasoning of the prohibition. Man Deshore, however, how about the one who permitted it? And we said also Shapir Sharif, right, that he had good reasons for permitting it. So this is what he says. He said, Meymar Omar, right, the idolater must have been thinking as follows, saying to himself literally, Sarkadatek the Rabbanon Kihane Chamra Koshosu. Right? The rabbis must have thought that this is talking wine, right? The Omri Leila Didi, nevertheless, they said to me, Torah Ashkenaz, right? They must have known, but really what he's saying is as follows. They know that if I pour wine for them, then what? Then it would be prohibited, right? All right?
So they must have thought it was beer.
Right.
Yeah, what are we talking
hold
about?
Hold it. We're not finished, okay? So, right, that this wine that they drank, says obviously they thought, you know, they know that wine is prohibited to my touch, but the Amrulila Didi Tashkidin, so why did they say to me, come, give us something to drink? So it must definitely have been not wine, but it must have been beer. Mistaken identity, right?
So what are you talking about?
And therefore there is no business of a libation to Avodah Zarah, right? That's involved over here.
So they knew that he was.
So we're talking intention.
Yeah.
Huh? We're talking intention.
Intention. Right. Trump. Right. And since what he did was, you know, he had no basic reason, right? He was accommodating them. So what was his thought? Either, you know, that it wasn't wine, or that, you know, maybe they thought it was wine, or they thought it was beer and not wine or something like that. So so the question is, the Ark of Chazay, but what's the matter? They can't take a look at it and see whether it's wine or beer? Yeah. So he says, Talala, it happened to be night, and I guess the lighting was not that good over there, so they couldn't tell the difference, right? Right. Or maybe what, you know, they smeared literally was new wine, right? And new wine, maybe it doesn't have an odor. That's what Baruch, let's review this again. Horkom Baruch Lei, that doesn't have an odor. In other words, a smell. Beer doesn't smell like wine, wine by beer, so why couldn't they tell? So the answer is that it was Becharata. This was brand new before it developed a definite fragrance. Okay? Definite smell.
Beer has a definite smell.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I mean, if we open a bottle of beer, you can smell it. It doesn't smell like wine at all. But what they're saying is that the new wine, they couldn't tell because it still hadn't fermented enough in order to have a distinctive wine odor. So now they continued the argument and they say, right? And but nevertheless, look, presumably he went to a barrel, right? This is what it is, and he had a ladle in his hand, and with the ladle he held it, and immediately, if he's holding the ladle into the wine, right?
He's doing the holding.
Yeah, yeah. They're still talking about the idolater, okay?
Yeah.
So he's, after all, how did he get the wine from the barrel to pour into their cups? You understand? So he had a ladle. So they say, but didn't he have a ladle, right? The Avalayan, in that case, it still is Maga Oyved Kechavim, right? Shalom Bekavod of the Asur, that this was literally the touch of an idolater, even though he did not have the intention to do anything, you know, bad, but nevertheless, it is still prohibited. So they say, Lo, no, what we have to imagine is not that he took a ladle and touched it in over there, which means immediately that even if his hand didn't touch it, but nevertheless, since he was holding the ladle, that would count as a touch also, do you understand? But what did he do? He simply took whatever it was, a jug or something or other, and he poured it out without ever touching anything else. So that's the case, then it says, So in that particular case, since he just poured it out without touching anything, right? Then in that case, this is this is the use of his hands. I have to explain that to you.
Why is
that? Let me explain the concept over here, because it's a little difficult to follow if we don't understand what they're saying over here. For certain things, for it to be effectual, a human being has to use his hands, whatever it may be, in order to accomplish the deed. Okay? This is what we refer to as koach gavra, literally, the strength, right, that a human being has. I mean, gavra means a man, but it doesn't mean a man, it means a human being. Example. What do we do before a meal? Can we stick our hands underneath the faucet and call that washing for the meal? No, we can't do it. Why can't we do it? Because that is an action that requires koyach gavra. You have to have a definite action whereby you take, a container of water, and you actually go to the trouble of pouring it over each head and so on. So the same thing that they're trying to say over here is that when he did it, he didn't pour it on his hand or something like that. Instead, he poured it directly. So he used his own capability, right, to do the pouring, and it was also shelo b'kavana. In other words, he did not have the intention of using, of doing this as an action for what? For a libation, okay? So that therefore, if this is the case, then it should be permitted. Remember, now we're trying to argue the person who permits it. Why did he permit it? Why? What was the reasoning behind the fact? I mean, we're not arguing now the argument of the one who said it's prohibited. We're arguing about the one who says it's permitted. So he says it's permitted because the idolater in reality never, used anything other than his own strength in order to simply pour directly, and he did not touch the wine itself.
But why, right. Why do they make a distinction between the jug and the ladle? Since the idolater is touching both of them, why is that a distinction?
Well, if he takes a ladle, it's as if it's an extension of his hand already. I mean, this is one of the most
sounds.
He puts
it
right.
into the hole.
Right.
Into
right.
A whole
that's also right. I mean, there's a possibility that he stirs it up, and we said before, that stirring up is also an action of libation. Right. We had said that the other week. Right. Right.
If he took
right.
a jug and dipped it into the barrel, would it be considered the same as a ladle?
The jug into the ladle?
Yeah, into a barrel.
Into the barrel.
Right. And then pour it. From there.
Well, if he had touched it, then in that particular case it would become Yain Nesef, right? And of course, I mean, we're talking about an idolater, but remember again that they were strict, not just with, Yain Nesef, which was a very common thing in those days. Today, it's, you don't normally use wine for libations unless you want to consider it as part of a church service, maybe. But on the other hand, we know that non-Jewish wine in general falls under the category of what we call stam yenam. In other words, wine which is not made under Jewish supervision, and therefore it should not be used by a Jew. So this is our official stand. I mean, if we don't, okay. And as I mentioned, I mentioned last week again, and had you come in to hear the review in the last couple of minutes. We again mentioned the fact that why do we have so much yayin bevushal today, whether it's grape juice or most wines, and the answer is in order to avoid even this, that would fall into the category of sabyeno and be unusable. I have to tell you, there are some wines which are not bevushal, okay? You have to take a look at the label, or you have to read, know a chart, I mean, to know whether it is or it isn't. There are those, yes. No, there are those who say that for making Kiddush, particularly, let's say, on Pesach, you should use wine which is not bevushal. Right. But, nevertheless, if you can't, so you use bevushal, that's all.
What's the rationale behind the fact that boiling it does away from the
answer that we had a long time ago is that it was never used as a libation. They never cooked wine and used it as a libation. So therefore, it's no longer in the category of possibly being Yadessa. That's the reason why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess then.
Yeah. No, there could be. I mean, there are some. I know. I think that there are some kettle wines or something that are not. I mean, most kettle wines are, but there's a possibility.
They will say.
Yeah. Right. They normally say whether it's a bushel or not. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, right. But look, as long as you're a Jew, you're a Shemesh Shabbos, it's not a problem. Right. He wanted Bevushal Dafka? Okay. He should have been happy. Should have been happy that that the wine was in the proper hands.
The wine is made under the supervision of Jesus and is being poured by a Jew.
Look, I trust the OU, I trust the Hechsher, the Israeli rabbinate, so... Okay. Right. Okay. All right. So, now we hear the arguments back and forth, right? Either it's prohibited, or it is permitted, right? But according to the one who says it's 100% permitted, he says, Havalei, right? Havalei Kaifi Shalei become honor, right? That this was the use of his own Koyach Gavra, his own forcefulness, without any intention. V'chol Kaifi Shalei become honor, Le'gozu Be'rabonet, right? And such a category was never under the decree not to be used, according to the rabbis. Okay? So now we have another maase. Bor mine Rabasi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabasi asked Rabbi Yochanan the following. He says, Yayin shebesochei oivet kechavim mahu. He says, wine which has been diluted with water. What's the ruling on that? Now, the wines in those days were real strong. Very strong. I don't know what the alcoholic content was, but it had to be real high. Okay? And so, in the Talmud we find that you have to dilute it, literally mix it, right, with water in order to make it potable, right? Should be able to drink it. Okay? This is why, if you take a look at the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, it's a chapter, the last chapter, according to the Talmud, in the Gemara, It's called Arve Pesachim, that chapter. Okay? And of course, what does Arve Pesachim mean? Obviously, it means Erev Pesach. Okay? Things that you have to do in order to prepare for the Seder. And it goes into the Seder. Okay? So, naturally, you know, you have to, you know, you start with the Kiddush, right? And then you have the Karpas, you know, Yachatz, right? And then it says, Mozgulo Kesheni. Mozgulo Kesheni. In other words, they have to literally mix or dilute again the second cup. And at this point, then who comes on the scene? The answer is the one who has to ask Ma Nishtana.
Oh,
okay. Is that a time of filler for time while the person went and did
right.
diluting?
Right. So, right. So, in other words, they diluted the wine in order to make it possible to drink it. Okay? No, you have to. This is an action that takes place before the child begins to say Madishtana.
Oh, I see.
You know, you go through the right Kadesh, right? Kads, Karpas, Yachas, right? Right. And then after that, you have Bagit. You know, you begin to tell the story of the Exodus of Egypt, etc. And but what is the introduction to the Magid after Holachma? It's you know, the four questions. Of course, what were the four questions based on? You know, why do we have matzah? Why do we have bitter herbs? Right? And so, though, why is this night so different, you know, from other nights of the year? Okay. So that's following that. The father has to do what? He has to answer the child's questions. And how does he answer it? By saying, Avodimoyinu, etc., going through the story, you know, of the Passover, you know, the Passover story. How we came to Egypt, we were slaves, and finally Hashem, you know, took us out from there after performing all the various miracles, etc., etc. Okay? So, yeah. All right. So, he said, all right, Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, right, let's say an idolater diluted the wine, okay? Mahu. What's the answer? Right, you know, what is the halacha? What's the din? So, Amalei, so, what does Rav Yochanan say to him? He said to him, V'yema mozgo, why don't you use the word mozgo? You know, mixed it up, and so on. In other words, diluted it. What was he objecting to? He was objecting to the fact that Rav Asi, you know, used a different word than the word that was commonly used in the time of the Talmud. Okay? So, Omalei, so what did Rav Asi answer him? He says, I'm using the language of the Bible itself. And he quoted a pasuk from the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs. He says, Tovcho tivcho, moscho yenon. It's a story, you know, over there. Shlomo HaMelech talks about a woman who is unfaithful to her husband. She's looking for her lover, and she wants to please him. So, what does she do? So, first of all, literally, she slaughters her beast, but what it means is, you know, that she prepares a meat meal, right? And then she mixes her wine. She dilutes the wine in order to serve him. So, in other words, she wants to serve him meat and wine, right? In order to seduce him. Okay. So, at any rate, what is the term that was used in the text? The answer is moscho. Okay? So that therefore, Rav Asi is saying, I'm using the language that the Bible itself uses. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say to him? Omalei, he said to him, Lashon Torah li'atzmo, Lashon Chachamim li'atzmo. In other words, the language of the Torah is for Torah, and the language are the Chachamim, the sages. This is what you have to use, I mean, when you're talking about halachos. Okay. Loshon Torah le'atzmo, Loshon Chachamim le'atzmo. Nai omale. So, the question is, so what in the final analysis, you know, what kind of conclusion do we come to? So he said to him, Osir is prohibited. Why is it prohibited? He says, Mishum lech lechor amin zira sechor chor lekarmo lo sikra. Okay. Now you know what a Nazir is. Nazir, a Nazirite, right? He takes a vow that he wants to be a Nazir. And there are certain things that he has to observe as a Nazir.